The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with truly one of my favorite people in Grow My Cleaning Company or Cleaning Nation. This is Jason Johnson. For those of you guys that are longtime fans, I'll let him say, but this has got to be third. I can't imagine it's fourth, but I think it's at least third on the show. You probably remember better than I. How many times you've been on, buddy?
I think this is the third time. Yeah.
Is it third? Feels third, but I'm like, that's a gut. Yeah, I figure you would know, like, for sure. So Jason's one of our millionaire mastermind people, and man, I feel like I've known Jason for 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah, 3 years. Kim and I were just talking about that. It's been a little over 3 years.
Yeah. And anyway, Jason is great. Not only is he in the Millionaire Mastermind program, but he and his wife Kim are, I won't say de facto leaders, but they certainly have a leadership role in that program. So he is really special. So that said, Jason and his wife are just the best. So you should know that. That said, the reason we have him on specifically today is we were at an event together and he was sharing with the Millionaire Mastermind group that he had had a couple key people quit or become unavailable for, you know, like COVID or just not gone for a day or two, like either they're gone or weeks. I'll let him fill in the details. And my favorite part of it, Jason and Kim, and again, I'm going by memory, so I'll let you, Jason, fill in the truth, but I think their company's grown a bit since we've started, but I believe their profitability has grown quite a bit and their freedom has grown quite a bit, like above and beyond that. So the thing I wanted to share, and I'm just going to let Jason tell the story and I'll ask questions, was one of my more frustrating things I hear is if I just, you know, they want system, you Clean Nation want systems and processes. Good. You should have those. And we also have this belief that if I just had the right manager, whatever operations manager is what people will call it, then I'd be free. And I don't ever believe that to be the case. And I feel like I'm constantly railing against it. So I want to get Jason's feedback on that for you guys. And also I think the person that quit and Jason or not quit was became unavailable. I'll let him tell the story, was the operations manager along with somebody else. And he and Kim weren't even in town, didn't go back. I think their out of town work schedule went from 0 to 1 hours a day to 2 or 3 or 4 hours a day, but they were still able to run it remotely without a lot of stress. So that's my crappy, what I remember version. Now, if you're interested in what really happened, Jason, tell the people what actually happened in your world.
Yeah. I mean, that's the gist of it. So Kim and I, we were traveling, we were in Mexico, I think at the time when everything happened, although it kind of does lead up to it. So my operations manager.
Hold on. Let's actually, I tease and I want to close that loop and then we'll talk about quote unquote, the real story. So again, you don't have to get any more specific than you're comfortable, but I would love to share, to hear, just because also curious, right? I vaguely remember where you were when we started, but yeah. I've known you so long. You know, it's like if your spouse loses a bunch of weight or gains a bunch of weight, you don't notice because you see them every day. So I feel like I've seen you every day. So when it comes to revenue, you don't have to get specific, just whatever you're comfortable with, revenue, profit, and freedom, what's changed the most? How does that feel? Like, just give us a little bit of that and then we'll dive into the exact part of, cause that'll really tie into the freedom of people leaving and you being okay.
Well, going back to 3 years ago, when we first started, we doubled our income just like that. I mean, from just starting your program, getting our numbers and understanding our numbers. I mean, I tell people, they ask me what's the most important thing other than core values. I say that's first, but after that, if you don't know your numbers, what are you running? You have no idea what you're running. I mean, that's so crucial. And we didn't, I mean, yeah, I knew my numbers and the fact that, yeah, I was profitable. I was making some money, but I didn't know where I should be. I didn't understand them. And once I learned that and we got those right, I mean, we doubled our profit in literally within three months. I mean,
and was that because of a lot of top line growth, a little top line growth, or no top line growth?
No growth at all. That was zero growth. That was literally just all in the same fell swoop. We fixed our cash flow problem and our profitability we ripped the Band-Aid off, because when we met you, we had to raise prices and we had to bill forward. And you said, hey, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Don't do little ones, rip it all off. We did it all in one fell swoop. Within a 3 month period, we told our clients, here's where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is how we're getting there. And we were there. No kickback, didn't lose any clients. And that was from the beginning. So profitability. Yeah. When we met you, we were, you know, you tell the story all the time. Oh, we didn't make $1 million. We were $1 million company. Growth since then.
And by the way, the inside joke is Jason and Kim were one of the few people I actually got to enroll myself. It wasn't one of my team. And he was, you know, like, where are you at? You know, something about, you know, $1 million. Oh yeah. He's like 990 or whatever they're at. And I'm like, so $1 million, like, no, Mike, we're not quite $1 million. We're 992,000, like some very specific number. And I was like, and it's so funny. Everyone wants to beat $1 million. So I'm trying to round him up. Cause I'm like, who cares? It's the same thing. Jason wouldn't have it. He wasn't going to be rounded up. He wanted only credit for what he'd earned. And then I'll be damned if by the end of the year, he didn't hit $1 million anyway. So despite his best efforts, he jumped over $1 million.
And it felt, like you tell us all the time, it felt no different than 850 to $1 million. And then you want to go to, you know, there's always the next goal. So
your shirt didn't show up that said, I'm a real business owner. Nope. Your family didn't start going, nope. Jason, I was wrong not trusting you. You're so smart. Look at you. Like, none of that happened, huh?
No, unfortunately not. No.
All right, I'm still waiting too. So we'll maybe it'll arrive together. All right. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue.
Yeah. So I mean, growth. We've grown about 20%, 15 to 20% every year. Not like, you know, we got people in the group now that we heard the other day. They grew like, I don't know, some crazy number.
500%. Yeah, 500%.
So no, we're not doing that. But the profitability is there. The lifestyle is there. We've got systems in place. So from that point, I remember one of the things I can remember. We were supposed to go to Mexico, and like 3 or 4 weeks before, I told Kim we're not going. I was too nervous. I couldn't go to Mexico. We'd gone on small trips before in the States, but never out of country. And I was too nervous to leave the company. And I think that's when we first met you. To now, our goal is not to be there in the winter. And we haven't been home much this winter. I mean, we were in Mexico for 3 weeks and then went to Florida for 10 days. We're home for 10 days. And then we've been in Phoenix. We're still in Phoenix. You can see I'm in beautiful weather. Going to Mexico after this. And it's systems, processes, people too. You know, we'll talk about the people in a minute. I do have a director of operations. I don't go to the office every day. One of the things I do remember is I'd go on trips and I wouldn't engage, and my team would say, oh, we're not bothering you. We're taking care of everything. And I'd come back. Then they'd ask me questions. I'd go to the office and I'd get re-engaged. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I just quit going to the office and quit engaging. And they just kept doing the job that I paid them to do and had the systems and processes in place. Hiring got done. We get new contracts and business was as usual, whether I was there or not. That being said, I did have a director of operations, somebody in the office every day, and a night shift manager. My director of operations went right before Christmas. Her husband was working out of state, went down to see him, came back. She was gone for about 2 weeks, kind of working remotely. He got sick with COVID. She went back down. Unfortunately, he ended up passing away. So she was out of the office. I was in Mexico when all this happened.
So really, really quick, as we move into the part of the kind of the actual topic of the show, I do want to hit two things Jason said that you all may have missed. And if we're writing stuff down, these are the notes to take. Note one, it doesn't matter about the revenue, it's the profit, right? So, you know, Jason's like, yeah, it's been 3 years. And if you've been growing 20 or 30% every year, you might've nearly doubled, but that's a 3-year process. To be able to double your profit right then, that's the big one. So make sure that we're focusing on profit first. We get so into revenue, but you can't go on trips or do anything with revenue. Profit is what it takes to pay bills and all that good stuff. God bless it. The second thing you said one other thing I wanted to make sure I jumped in. I forgot it. And now I'm feeling panicky because I can't have everyone wait while I think about it. So I will think back up to present day where, that was it. I got it. Thank goodness. So the second thing I heard Jason say, and this is very common, I'm bringing it up because so many people do it. Number one, when you go on vacation, a lot of times our clients do that. They go on vacation. They're afraid everything's going to fall, you know, apart. We kind of walk them through talk them off the emotional ledge. They go on vacation, they come back, everything's fantastic. So you would think, well, shit, you're retired, pardon my language. But the reality is they go right back to work because they need to. No, everything was fine. They came back. There's no fires. Everything's great. But they just go back to work because that's what they do. And then their employees go, oh, I guess the boss is here. We can stop thinking. And I don't want to say they stop working, but they stop making the decisions you used to make. So if you're writing stuff down, one, focus on profit first, then on revenue. Two, if and when you're able to leave your vacation for 7 to 14 days and you come back and everything's okay, you're retired. Don't go back. Continue living you don't have to travel all the time if you don't want to, but you certainly have to go in the office. Like don't fall for the, well, that's why I went back to work. Cause that's what I do. I mean, if that's what you want to do, God bless, but don't go back. Cause you just think that's what guys do. We work. It's like, no, we're not workers were entrepreneurs. Anything to add to that before we move to
That's exactly true. I always had the mindset, and it's a mindset thing, right? I felt like I needed to get back and engage and be doing something in the business. I mean, you know, there are things that we don't want to say we do nothing. We don't do a whole lot. There are some little things we do, but you don't have to be you're as engaged as you want to be. If our goal right now isn't a huge growth, you know, why am I spending a lot of time spinning my wheels on marketing and making landing pages and doing all this stuff when that, you know, that's not where my mindset and my growth is that I want to be right now. So I don't know. I just felt like I needed to be doing something. And that was a mindset thing. It was something that I had to fix in me. And I think I disabled my team. I wasn't letting them do their job. I would come in and mess things up probably more than I was helping, to be honest with you.
That's a great point. All right. So for those of you guys who are hearing it, there is some beliefs, right? There's that, like, I can't just get paid all this money and not do anything. It's like, yeah, you can. This is your business. You know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, when you were working a ton and investing in yourself and learning how to do all this, and you know, they were out having fun with their friends, that's fine. No judgment, but don't make up a story that I got to work to get paid. One has nothing to do with another, right? If you buy stock in Apple, you know, I don't know who's running it now. I say Steve Jobs, he's been dead for 10 years. Whoever's running Apple's not going to call you, hey, Mike, you didn't show up to work. You're just going to get your dividends because you're an investor at that point, right? Like you earn the money and then you invest it in this company and the company pays you and that they're not particularly interested in your involvement. All right. That said, so this more recent thing, your operations manager's husband, God forbid, that's awful, passed away. Walk us through. Not the passing away, but how that works in your business.
She went down there with him because he was pretty sick. And so she wanted to be down there with him. And went, and you know, I rightfully so. I said, look, you go down there, you focus on him and what you're doing. We'll be fine without you. I mean, you know, and you know, I was a little nervous about it. I'm not going to lie. Because even when I left, Penny was always back at the office and able to take emails, phone calls and all that stuff. And then we have a night shift manager. And so during this process, I'm in Mexico. She goes down there. Everything's fine. We're having no major issues. I am, like you said, I'm working a little more. I'm having to answer some emails if there's issues, phone calls that come in, any of the stuff that she would generally take care of during the day, any of that stuff. I would spend a couple hours a day working. I went from, like you said, working, you know, less than an hour today to working probably 8 to 10 hours a week total. So, I mean, it's not that much and it didn't interfere
with still remotely working being either Zoom call, text, email, phone. Yeah, no,
exactly.
You're still anywhere in the world you want to be.
I was in Mexico doing this. I was and working when I wanted to. With the time difference, I'd say, hey, we're not doing anything now. I'd do it earlier. I'd do it later in the day. We were done doing whatever we were doing for the day. So it wasn't really messing with me at all. And then during this, my night shift manager, so Penny takes care of things during the day. He takes care of things at night, got COVID. He was out for 10 days. So I'm in Mexico. My operations, director of operations is in out of state, not working. And my night shift manager is out 10 days with COVID. We're not grossly overstaffed. We're fully staffed, but not where we used to be. And the team just stepped up. I just reached out to one of my people who've been with me a long time, said, hey, Lona, I need you to step up. You know, we got the systems, the interviews kept going on place. Everything went, we actually had her, she'd never done a walkthrough. She did a walkthrough, passed the information on to me through what she had and the information I got. We were able to do a bid, sign a contract, all while they're out, I'm in Mexico. And, I know one of the things I mentioned, and I'm not devaluing what Penny does because, you know, she's back to work and I'm glad she's back to work. We're looking at some of the things she's doing now versus what she was now with the difference. But everybody says, hey, if I had an operation manager, I could just do this. That's not the case. You shouldn't be people dependent. You should have systems, processes, and a team that you build by core values of people that will step up and do what they want to. And all those things will take care of themselves. It's not a person. Everybody thinks they need this person. You know, we've heard it how many times, all of us in the mastermind group, we were saying, hey, what should that look like? What should a job description look like? What should I be hiring for? And, you know, we're looking at the wrong picture. We're looking at the wrong thing, in my opinion.
Asking the wrong questions almost always goes wrong, but that's exactly it. How do I get an operations manager so I don't have to do any stuff I want to do? Mm-hmm. Embedded in there is you're setting yourself up for failure. So for all of the football fans out there, you know, they got a thing called next man up, right? You've got to start, you know, it's a great team, not just a great player, when the good guy gets injured and like next guy up, we have a system, we have a process and we win. And is it better when we have the right team? Yeah, of course. There's a reason we're paying that guy a bunch of money, throw the ball or run the ball or whatever his position is. But we got to be next man up, So if it works for the NFL, it certainly works for business in that next man up. And, you know, God forbid someone loses, you know, gets COVID or loses a spouse and has to take off. But when it's person dependent, And that's what we want. If I just had a person I could dump all my vomit on, I'd run like hell and the business would go itself. It's very hard to find that person. They rarely do. And then it's not if they quit, it's when, or get sick or get pregnant or move or like whatever, or do you have to fire them? God forbid. So how did you do that? Cause I think the temptation is to have a Penny that can quote unquote run everything and everything's on her shoulders. And when she breaks, cause she's carrying too much of a load, frankly, which wasn't the case for you, you're just boned. Your trip's over. It's on, come home, get back to work. How did that, what did you do to make that not happen for you in your world?
So I think the biggest way that we got there was when I moved her into that position and said, here's the things that I don't want to do and that need to be done, or things that need to be done. When I put them on her and gave her a job, when issues come up, and what I was bad about is when a problem would come up, I'd fix it, but I wouldn't fix the process. So when that came up again, it was always me fixing it. And then it was her fixing it. So one of the things that we really focused on is when we found issues, because if it comes up more than twice, it's not a problem. You shouldn't be surprised. The first time might surprise you. If it happens again and you're not ready, well, that's your fault. I mean, that's piss poor planning in my book. So when we have issues,
let me give you guys the example of that I hear most often. Well, Mike, I turned off my hiring funnel because you know, a third of my staff all quit at once, or six people all quit in the span of 2 or 3 weeks. How could I foresee that coming? I'm like, well, I don't know. When's the last time that happened? 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you could foresee that happening, right? We kind of do this. I don't want it to happen. It seems extreme. We kind of negotiate with reality. Well, that's not fair. That many people quitting. That's not reasonable. Well, if it's happened 3 times in the last 2.5 years, reasonable or not, let's just make a plan, right? As opposed to negotiating, shaking our fist at reality, telling you how it should be. Let's just deal with reality and reality's terms. Sorry. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, my team questioned me on that at one time. When we had extra people, they're like, why are we keep hiring people? Why are we doing this? And I'm like, just trust the system. And like 3 weeks later, 5 or 6 people quit. We get a couple new contracts. We had 6 people on the sideline. Guess what? I like to be overstaffed, 5 or 6 people. And believe it or not, we're there now. We're back. I think our numbers are coming back up, and our hiring funnels work back functioning, and we got that going. So for those that are out there listening and they're having the hiring issues, you need to look at how you're doing it, because we're back to where we had, well, we just lost 3 people, 4, and it didn't bother us. We had 6 people on the sidelines in the training pipeline ready to go, and had interviews again last night, hiring probably a couple more this week. And that's, you know, the system's working. So yeah, that's it. Having systems, when there's issues come up, find a system to fix it, not just an answer to the problem. That's how we've done it. And we've, once you get to the point where you have an operations manager, I don't want to say it facetiously, because you need somebody that can handle issues and take care of problems. But the cool thing is now you get to mentor and invest in that person and bring them up to be the leader of your company and do some of the things you are. That's what you need, is you need somebody that's a leader that can kind of guide things, and more than you need and that's what an operations manager does. But then you get to invest in them. But then they also then, like with the night shift manager, I told Penny, now you need to work yourself out of a job to where you can put some of this on Morgan and teach him and train him and pull him up. And it's like everybody, as your business grows and as you need different levels of, I don't want to say management leadership because we're getting off of that, but it's a different dynamic when you get to build leaders versus just your company. It's really a cool different direction you get to go.
I'll give an example of what that looked like in our company that will maybe add some tag on to what Jason said. So Lindsay, our customer happiness manager, who if you had to pick an operations manager, it'd be her. She makes sure everything happens. Yeah. And she's my godsend, right? I don't have to deal with anything. She's the best. Love you, Lindsay. But guess what? When she goes on vacation, it's no big deal. I don't even know it. She'll tell me she goes on vacation. I don't even deal with anything, because she's just like Jason said, she's built herself out of a job. So when she started, I said, well, we're a pretty fast growth company. And within 6 months, either I'm going to hire someone above you, because we're going to need more people and more leadership, or you're going to hire someone below you, and you're going to hire yourself to the position above you. My hopes and dreams that you hire someone below your team of people. And I think she's got 5 people, 6 people now below her, but you know, on her team. I didn't hire any of them. I didn't interview. I didn't do anything. She just did all of it. And if she hadn't, then I would have had to hire the person above her to do that. So I think if you tell people, like, I want you to be the person, I'm not threatening you, I'm just telling you, there's going to be more layers of leadership, and I'd like you to build that team under you. And I'm going to give you all the, and you know, helps that she's a core values match, helps that she's a super amazing human being, but we just gave her the freedom to do that. And guess what? Has she made some mistakes? Of course. I don't know if there are any more mistakes than I would have made, right? But she's made some mistakes, but they're always core values match. She never did anything outside of having fun, making money, being real, and helping out. And if you just set that agenda, and just like you said, I've poured into her more as a leader. So like I give you guys coaching, I give her kind of leadership, and I really I give her her own rope. I'm much more specific about you guys, my clients, on here's how to run your business than I am with my own team on how to run the business. I told Lindsay, here's the outcome I want. The rules that you're going to play by to get that outcome are have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And of course, never lie, cheat, and steal. Other than that, I don't really care how you get there. And if you're clear on the outcome, you're clear on the rules. And once you have your core values, you're always clear on the rules. And with a good coach or good conversation with your spouse, you can get clear on the outcome. If you hire the right person, you can just get out of the way. All right, we're time to wrap it up. Jason, we have a saying, my favorite millionaire mastermind saying is hashtag live like the Johnsons, because they're always out and about traveling. They have great lives. Give the top one or two things or three if you must. Oh my God. There's the real, I didn't want to like bring it in, but there's the brains for those of you that are watching the video. Jason's the looks, obviously. I mean, look at him. He's an Adonis for crying out loud. Kim is, I'm being silly, but if I had to be, Kim's like the glue. I feel like she just seeps into all the relationships and all. So funny. I have a Kim. My wife is the one that everyone comes to with emotional, like they come to me with like, what do I do and how do I do it? And they come to Kim with, how do I feel? And I need help and someone, not an automaton, an actual human to love and care about me. And Kim is that. If you haven't met Kim, you are missing out. She is just a great human being. Anyway, Jason and Kim, now you just got to speak in the mic if you're going to talk, Kim. Give the top one or two things you can say to be able to have that freedom of, I mean, you guys are where you want to be because that's where you want to be. It doesn't have nothing to do with your business. Tell the people.
Well, one of the points you made, Mike, when you were talking about that is when you hired Lindsay, you gave her the freedom to do it. And that's where I messed up at the beginning. If you hire somebody or move somebody into a position, even if you're not hiring, that's what I did. I promoted from within. When you give them a position, tell them where you want to go. You got to give them the freedom to do it, freedom to fail, freedom to learn, just like we did with our business. And that's where I failed miserably at the beginning. So that's what I would say. Look, trust your team. If you're hiring by core values, let them do it. Let them make mistakes. It might cost you, but that's how you learn and you grow. That's one of the biggest mistakes I made. And I would tell people, if you're going to go to that position where you're going to bring somebody in there, let them do their job, empower them. Don't handcuff them, which I did.
Kim's given the thoughtful nod. Yeah. And by the way, even if you're like, well, I don't handcuff my people, just going back to work and stepping in and saving them. That's, you're not saying it with your words, but you're saying with your actions. I need to do the thinking here. I'm here now. Superman's here. I put on my cape. Superwoman's here. I put on my cape, and you just settle down and let the big brain get to work. But when they call you and go, I don't know, how do I do? I don't know. I hired a smart person to take care of that. Oh wait, you're that smart person. You tell me, girl. You tell me, boy. What do you got? What's going on here? And just, you got to step back. And Jason said it. You got to let them fail. But you'd be shocked. You get a good core values match.
Doesn't happen much.
No, when they do, they went, I wouldn't even say it's for me. I wouldn't say they fail. It's they went a little to the left, and I might have said I'd probably do a little to the right. Like they might do it a little way differently. Half the time, I'd say that way was inferior. My way would have been a little better, faster, quicker, cheaper, whatever. Half the time, I'm like, well, shit, that was a better idea. That's what I was going to do, Lindsay. Good job. That's exactly, it's perfect. All right. Anything else, or is that the big one?
That was the biggest thing that was in my mind right then.
Be beautiful. All right, guys, gals, Clean Nation. If you're like, I like this, I need more, growmycleaningcompany.com. Over 700 podcasts. You go to Amazon for the two books. The best place to start is by far the absolutely free on-demand training. It's 40 minutes of the best stuff we got. 5 shifts you need to make to really start these foundations we're talking about. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. See you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.